All right, gentlemen, how about we go ahead and get this kicked off? So again, welcome to our April Men's Breakfast. What I thought to do is just go through some of the announcements, put some slides together. So first, what I really want to do is try to get ahead on our upcoming speakers and share that with you. So admittedly, for March last month, I kind of lost track a little bit of announcing between Holy Week, between spring break, as mentioned a little bit earlier, and had to shift this meeting out. But really just want to get this on our calendars ahead of time and have those dates locked into our breakfast so we let people know. And again, obviously would simplify what that would look like. So what we have planned, right, May 11 dinner, and I'm going to talk more about that in just a moment. We have Matt McKee. And that dinner is to commence at 6:30 at night. We have our breakfast on June 1st coming up with Mr. Kurt Davis. Yes, sir, Mr. Kurt, looking forward to that, sir. And then I think it's just a question for the group here. Hey, what do we want to do in the summertime? I think the last couple of years we've taken that month off is traditionally vacation. So I pose the question now. If there's interest to come and meet, I currently do not have a guest speaker, but at the same time, anytime you just want to come in and have maybe a smaller Bible session, Bible discussion, you know, that's for the table. So I put it out there. I welcome any comments or questions, probably put you on the spot, but what do we have any initial interest to meet in July? Barney.
I'm speaking personally. I would love to come as long as it's not on the 4th of July.
There we go. Maybe the week after. Yeah. So I'm not even sure. What would be that? Let's see. Look at my calendar.
I'm going at least the first week.
Yeah. So the way the calendar lines out, really the first week of July is the week of July 2nd, which is the Sunday. So the week of July 3rd, holiday week. So could target the week of July 10th. Personally, I'm on vacation that week, but if there's interest to meet, and we don't have to firm up all those plans right now, but it's just something to think about. And I think certainly probably by the next time we get together, we would look to solidify that. So is that what I'm hearing? Meet the second week of July. Is there a second, Jim?
Yeah, a few years ago, this subject came up and we were trying to decide whether to meet during the summer. And we decided to meet during the summer. And then we did. Some place for people to go during that summer time that weren't going on vacation.
Gotcha.
Oh, yeah.
All right. So what I'm hearing is there's interest to me, probably target that second week of July. So I'll have to confirm that with the church. There's a few administrative things with Steve. I think we'll be able to figure that out. All right. Good stuff. Then there's the speaker, Barney, with you, the first person, first hand raised. Do you want to help facilitate that session?
Absolutely.
There we go. Everyone, we have 20 eyewitnesses. That's going in my meeting minutes.
Can we change our vote? No, we know it's Barney.
You're disinvited.
Now.
Bring all your air conditioning problems.
There we go. Oh, wow. So then becomes, okay, who else are we going to nominate to speak? Self-speak, self-nominations. So this is really getting into August and beyond. And then I could always have the duty and pleasure to point to various people in the room. Gene, you're in front of there. Let's see, Mike. But please consider that. And if you have, you know, a friend, whoever it may be, willing to share their story, this is certainly a welcoming group, obviously, as we know, to go do that. So I welcome suggestions, and please consider that as we set up certainly the second half of the year. All right, so men's dinner. This is the hot topic. This is a decade in the making over at Roswell United Methodist Church. So I am really excited how this is really coming together. What I thought I'd do first is share the dinner menu. What better way to get started to see the meatopia that we have planned here? So we have carving stations, bacon-wrapped bistro tenderloin. Where is Steve when I need him right now? Steve is not here. We have herb-roasted beef. We have a whole main buffet table. There's Steve. Yes, sir. Yeah. check this out. So this is going to be a wonderful dinner. There's a buffet of desserts, all kinds of goodies there. Dessert bacon display. Look at all that. Candied maple bacon, salted chocolate, bacon, beverage stations. I'm surprised we don't have bacon with the beverage stations. How many bacons do you see on the page? Who knows?
Got to be at least 17.
Hey, so this is really going to be a wonderful evening. So Matt McGee, he lives just up and coming. He's a speaker who's been on the tour with several large churches, mega churches. He's an author, and he just has such an energy to him. So I'm real delighted to have him. I think it's really going to blow people's minds away on what he's going to share. So this is open, not just within RUMC, but to the community. So please consider to invite your friends. It's a son, you know, I would say through high school upperclassmen. And what else do we have going on with that? So we do need some volunteers. Some of the volunteer activities we have, maybe to help set up and decorate, do some of those things. Logistics coordinator, that's a fancy way to say direct traffic out in the streets there, into the parking and get people going where they need to go. There's some registration and name tags, greeting, those sort of things, cleaning up. So very fortunately, Kurt's wife, Allison, who's our Sunday school class leader over at Cornerstone, she graciously volunteered to help coordinate that. So perhaps if you have a wife, a girlfriend, a daughter that may want to help serve and be at the registration table, providing name tags, those sort of things, or maybe it's some of us as a group that want to maybe help direct traffic going in, you know, pre 6:30. I definitely want all the men to be in the fellowship hall, you know, at tables, but there's always some setup things that we might have to get organized with tables and those sort of things. So I would ask that you would consider that and maybe consider others who may be, you know, willing to help volunteer. So you could either reach out to Allison, there's her contact information. If it's more simple, just send a reply email back to myself or Eric, and we would be able to coordinate the volunteer activities.
Any one of the three will connect
you. Yeah, absolutely. So how do we go register? So it was in the Friday Blast. I think the links in the Friday Blast weren't working the way they were supposed to. So that's another story.
Working at all.
Yeah. We won't get into that too much. So very simple though. RUMC.com/men's dinner.
That doesn't work either.
So what is a hang up? And you probably have seen this when I've tried to stream things up here, and that's a major lesson learned, streaming video up here again. I don't know how many times I'll ever do that. So, but what is a hang up? I think sometimes is this HTTPS. So the technicalities, I defer to my IT director, Kurt Davis. I couldn't tell you much more about that, but the link should be working. I've tried it again. I've entered in a couple different times between my work laptop. And you know what? We'll even try, let's see, right now, we'll do a live test. Yeah.
With God watching.
Dun-dun-dun-dun. Let's see. Right, and here's an email that I sent out with a few things on it. Okay, where is the registration link? Drum roll, Christmas vacation. What's that?
You're showing the PowerPoint.
I shared. Thanks, Pat. Everyone was, yeah, Ben will hit. Ben's very direct, and I'll talk about Ben in a second. So it cannot be reached. I'll do it on my mobile phone here in just a minute, but I think it's a fair point. I've had some challenges. I've had a couple of people say the same thing. I'm told that it's been resolved. I'll definitely look at it again. It should be a fun night, though.
The site is up, let me tell you that.
It is it? It's working for you?
Yeah.
Thanks, Matt.
It worked for me. I just tried it with
me. It did work? Sounds like it's just one person, that guy in the corner.
Thursday, May 11th.
Thursday, May 11th. So it's Thursday, May 11th at 6:30. I think given the program that we have set up that evening with some live music, we have, you know, some short videos, just between the fellowship and the great dinner, we'll probably go just past 8 o'clock. Online registration says it's still about 8 p.m. I think we'll probably get into about 8:15, maybe even 8:30. But it's a soft start. So I've had a couple, you know, friends and coworkers say, well, I don't know if I can make 6:30. It's a soft start. We're having food. Don't worry. Just come on in. And the program will really be getting kicked off with things, you know, after, you know, 6:45-ish. So please don't use that as a deterrent. But this is what it looks like. You can see on the left-hand side, has some details there about Meetopia. On the right side is the registration. So I'd really challenge you just to, you know, not just yourself, invite others. Have a whole table. So I would love to be able to fill up that fellowship hall. Table is a couple $100. All right, any comments or other questions about the men's dinner? Just a few weeks away. So I also included in my recent email a link for this Braves game. Johnny Albers asked that I would share this. This is a living donor awareness game. So Senator John Albers, he came here and he spoke. This goes back to October of last year. He asked that I share this, and certainly that's what I'm doing. So there's a Braves game, April 25th. I've had a few people express interest on going, and I've asked me. Randy Reynolds is going. He has some tickets. I think Eric and Cammy have expressed interest in going. There's been some others. I love the Braves. I would love to go. The reality is I do have a part commitment. I coach my son's baseball. I think I've shared that with some of you. And it's hard to teach your child, friend, son to be committed in organizations. And then he loves the Braves too. And if he sees me not coach his team and knows that I'm going here, it's a hard one to balance. So I'm committed to that baseball game and coaching that night. I think either now or after the breakfast, if there's other people that are interested, I'd be happy to help see who else is going and get a little email distribution just to get coordinated on that. But I mean, Truist Park is amazing, and the Braves are just so, so fun to go see. Any other comments, questions for the Braves?
Yeah. I saw Will a while back, his son, who he donated kidney to. I saw him down on Kevin Street. Stopped and talked to him for a few minutes, and he's doing great. And, I guess he's got a fiance. I don't think he's married yet.
Okay.
But, yeah, he looks super.
That's looks awesome. Very healthy. What an amazing story. Right. Yeah, it's just so dynamic. And if you haven't heard John Albers, him telling the story, it's amazing. We have a podcast. I'm not sure if you're aware of that. I included it in my email links, but his story is amazing. So I would encourage you to listen to that if you haven't. And if you have, if you really need to be inspired, to listen to that again. It's just quite very amazing. This is, I think, the last slide that I have. I shared this slide previously when I presented, and I think about this. Think about other men, and real men love Jesus. And Rusty, as he shared before, he connected together. And so we do, and so we obey, and so we serve. So it's always impactful. It's something I think of. What other announcements do we have? Jim, I think you must have a few things going on back there. What do we get going? You're welcome. Well, we get the camera. We'll rotate it. Go for it. You can go right from your spot.
Well, you've seen the big ditch out here, so you know we've made some progress. The pavilion has been moved. That was moved about a week ago. And it really moved right up there. It was like watching paint dry. It moved at less than a mile an hour carried to the other, and it took 2 days to move it. Anyway, it's on its foundation. It's going to have a lot more visibility. There'll be some upgrades and repairs on it because it's an old facility. New deck, and it'll be painted. It'll have a stone cap around the base of it. You see the big pipes. There's 20 of those guys, and they're 7 foot diameter perforated metal pipes. That's the water treatment in the stormwater that runs off of that street. through the property. And that's a city requirement. And that's a 20-foot hole to put a 7-foot pipe in. So it's a big deal to put it in there. And about a third of them are in. But the worst part about it is nobody wants to know they're there. The 3 feet over the top, topsoil, worn sidewalks. Anyway, so that's what you're seeing. We have a lot of people that come by to watch the construction. The kids from daycare have been there, have a great time every day. They're sitting next to the fence watching this. But you will start to see, I think I've said this several times, this is like a $2.2 million project. We were able to either get pledged or receive about 1.2513 so far. So, and we had no more solicitation, no more fundraising through Easter and all that stuff, but it's going to kick in. And, we've got a different way of doing it. You'll find out more about it. But our objective is, if we can, $900,000 that will pay for it. And we're going to try and get it paid for this year. Just clear it out. Just so everybody hears it loud and clear, there's no building. No building. We're not building a building. We're doing the commons. Building everything but the building, but there's no building. And we don't know if there'll ever be a building, but maybe there will be someday. But we just want to make sure the project is paid for. And we think we can do it based on what we've done before. So if anybody's got any questions about it, feel free. There'll be new banners and posters up around it. On the fence within a couple of days, that'll show a view from that spot as to what the space will look like. So that'll help people understand what it's going to look like for this. Anyway, here's an update. And if you got any questions, feel free to ask.
Jim, really appreciate your leadership. Looks like we have a question over here.
I just have a simple comment. We do have some real traffic issues in terms of blind spots. And I observed and was not a participant in the near collision just because people can't see around the blinding corners. We got two blinding corners that are big traffic points. We had the contractors take a look to see whether you can put some ice and glass up or something.
We took the whole lower part out.
I saw that. That helped, but it one up slow. There this is the bad one.
Okay.
Just a hand before we
not a problem.
Have liability.
Sure.
Any other announcements?
Jim, what's the time frame on finishing?
It's a total 6 to 8 month project, and it started about a month ago. Well, we hope it'll be done by August. That's the plan. So, but it's tied to the weather. Yeah. So we've had a couple going washes here. Once it's covered, with dirt and grass and stuff, and continue. You'll see sidewalks and the curbing start to move forward sooner. Anyway, if you need to want it, so if you get a chance, just stop by.
Thanks so much, Jim. Any other announcements? Steve, just another shout out. Love the French toast this morning. It was excellent. You too, Bobby. I appreciate all the preparations you guys do.
Yeah, thank you.
Thanks, guys. Excellent. All right, we'll get into the feature of the program with our guest speaker. Let me go ahead and introduce. Here we go. So, originally from North Carolina, moved to Marietta, Georgia in 1989. Grew up in the United Methodist Church, has been a member of Marietta First United Methodist Church, then Mount Zion UMC, Acworth UMC. Now, RUMC, graduate of Wheeler High School in Marietta, current member of our Cornerstone Sunday School class, been a great addition over the past year. Ben is so knowledgeable of the Bible, he'll connect these dots between the old and the new, and the old and the old and the old, and are like, who is this? Like, who is he referring to? But Ben is super dynamic and just awesome, ton of knowledge in the Bible. He's an art director over at Ernest & Young. He loves smoking meat, plays the guitar. He cracks a lot of jokes, so you got to be quick. This guy is super quick with jokes. He's a history buff. He's married to a beautiful and wonderful wife, Lee. He has a daughter, Dylan. A son, Dylan's 15. His son's Cameron is 11. please join me in welcoming Ben Parlier.
Good morning. Thank you so much. I'd like to start off with just a quick prayer, if we can just bow our heads. Heavenly Father, may the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be pleasing in your sight, O Lord, my rock and my redeemer. Amen.
Amen.
All right. Well, thank you, Kevin. This guy right here is a guy you cannot say no to, right? Weeks ago, Kevin asked me to come speak at this breakfast, and not even thinking about it, I said, sure, why not? I didn't realize the extent of what I had gotten into until my wife and kids heard my name on the video announcements in the service last week. And the funny part is I was sitting right next to them and I didn't hear it, and they had to point it out. And then I'm getting emails and I'm in the bulletin, I think, like, what have I signed up for? And again, you just can't say no to Kevin. So Kevin, I'm just going to make you regret ever having me come. All right. So I see some familiar faces out here. I see a lot that I don't know. I apologize in advance. And for those that do know me, again, I'm sorry. I am Ben Parlier. And as Kevin said, I was born and raised Methodist. With that, I know potluck dinners. I could even pick out the KFC from the real fried chicken. And I also know there's probably a committee out there that is assigned to picking out the KFC from the real fried chicken. I was brought up in the youth choir, the Bell Choir, MYF, which is an acronym kept alive by my parents. Here, I believe they call it crew, right? Yeah. Weekend ski retreats, summer camps, red hymnals. Does everybody remember those? And then they went to blue sometime. Quilting circles, United Methodist Men, and on and on and on. My grandfather played organ and conducted the choir at First United Methodist in Hickory, North Carolina. My grandmother made the communion bread. My parents, they met there and attended the fish fries at my other grandparents' lake house on Lake Hickory. I have a great-grandfather who was a preacher at the same church in Hickory, and as my dad tells it, preached so well against the racism in Jim Crow South that he managed to get an angry mob of Klansmen at his door and then got them to disperse by recognizing their voices and calling them out name by name. My dad is even currently the chair of trustees at Mount Zion United Methodist Church. And as I was speaking to them last night, a bit of advice was don't ever become chair of trustees at a Methodist church.
Amen.
I moved three times before I was in the sixth grade. My dad was a nuclear engineer. I said this into our radical mentoring group, but that's second only to being a military brat, it seems to be, and fall somewhere ahead of IBM. In the United Methodist Church was always a constant, always. And in 1989, we moved to Marietta, Georgia, where we have been ever since, except for a brief stint in college. When we moved here in 1989, we did what I call church hopping. We started out at Mount Bethel and then went, and visited East Cobb United Methodist Church, where unfortunately in the youth program, I was bullied. Keep that in mind. Marietta First United Methodist Church is where we ended up attending. Does anybody remember Charles Sineth? Nobody? All right. Yeah, see, Bob. He was the senior pastor at First United Methodist in Marietta. And at that point, I attended my first youth camp with the United Methodist Youth. And at this camp, I gave my heart to Jesus. And I will interject here and say, I should have read the tenets of my faith at this point, but I didn't. It would have helped me and saved me a long, painful way back to the church and back to Jesus. When I got saved, I came back in seventh grade, and lo and behold, there's that bully. And the reason I bring this up, because I was sitting in gym class, this guy was picking on me, and we're not talking about, you know, yelling jeers. We're talking classic bully, you know, physical violence, beating up on you. And I'll never forget asking God to help me out. And then that moment, another bigger guy came up to this bully and said, if you touch him one more time, I'm going to pound you into the dust. And what's interesting is that bully and I are good friends to this day. Right? So.
Is he in the room?
No, he is not. I promised Bob Fletcher I wouldn't give his name on that. I kid. No, he's not in this room. But actually, side note, he did serve in the U.S. Army in Iraq and was a scout and doing quite well. He lives south of Atlanta, I think, in Concord, Georgia. Really great guy. But at that time, my bully. All right. So, I discovered at that point, prayer works. It really does. And coming about eighth grade, my parents decided to make a move from Marietta First, my church home, which I loved. They made the move to Mount Zion, as they put it, to not be a number. They wanted to be involved in church. And it's kind of funny that they wanted to be involved in church. Now they are. And he's telling me not to ever become involved in the church. But, I was great. I was a faithful follower of Jesus as best I could, until I got punished for not quite making a cut in grades, and I couldn't go to youth camp. And at that point, I decided to rebel. And, you know, Mark Kramer, if you know him, his story always resonates with me, because he always puts it in succinct terms. He says, I got mad at God. Well, at this point, I got mad at God. I got mad at my parents, and I decided to rebel. I won't go into the details of that, but let's just say I should have learned the Bible to avoid heartache in a life that had veered away from God. So, you know, it didn't last long, my fellow, you know, staying mad at God, but I became indifferent. I guess the Bible would call it, I hardened my heart. I got caught up in myself and all that entails. Graduated from Wheeler in 1996, and then I went to Auburn. By the way, I would like to work with Mark Kramer to come up with an Auburn support group ministry here at RUMC. I'm glad I got some chuckles. We do need it. Then, while at Auburn, I got sick. I am living with Crohn's disease at this point, but I got sick and had to transfer back home. Eventually graduated from Kennesaw State. And while at Kennesaw State, I met my wife at Mountain View Aquatic Center, which is a Cobb Parks and Rec facility. We were both lifeguards. Who here is in Bob Fletcher's class? If you know Bob Foster, that is my father-in-law. He's relatively new.
Really?
Yes. I've told you this, Bob. You said Foster Bob and
yeah.
Bob Foster. Yeah. So my wife Lee is a graduate of Lasseter High School in Marietta. And after graduating from KSU with a degree in design, we decided to get married, had some rough times. We had a couple of children and began attending Ackworth United Methodist Church, because as many of you probably know, having children kind of changes you, right? So at this point, I wanted them to grow up in the church. And then we began attending Ackworth United Methodist Church. And fun fact, Tom Davis and James Gwynn, the senior pastor at Ackworth, were seminary roommates. And that is a fun fact that both love to tell me every time I bring that fact up. We finally found an adult Sunday school class, and we became great friends and great participants in that class. And one thing that we did right before we left Ackworth United Methodist Church is we did a study called The Epic of Eden. Has anybody read this book? Highly, 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 highly recommend reading this book. It is by a seminary professor named Sandra Richter, Dr. Sandra Richter. But this is where I think a major interest in the Bible was sparked. I had always seen the Bible as this monolithic thing that is full of great wisdom and great guidance. Kind of reminds you of a book we read, right? You know, principles to live by. I viewed the Old Testament as something scary and completely out of date and irrelevant to me, which is not true. And at this point, when we were leaving, I got a job with IBM and started to travel. We were making great money. We moved back to Marietta, and we were reading Sandra Richter's Epic of Eden, and we struggled. We struggled to find a new United Methodist Church. We had visited Mount Bethel North. We had visited Mountain View United Methodist. As my wife tells it, and I hope my parents never see this, she did not want to go to Mount Zion and be with my parents, which is understandable. So we found RUMC when my daughter's friend invited her to come to church, and we haven't looked back. We became involved in the Cornerstone Sunday School class in 2021 and have really developed great Christian relationships. And it was at this point with the pandemic and everything else that was going on that three things converged that have affected my faith journey and turned the clock back to that first youth camp. One, we had done a very good deed. I am not going to go into specifics just to protect the innocent, but something that I would characterize as blowing up in our faces. And one of my cynical friends said, no good deed ever goes unpunished. So I was a little angry that this had blown up in our face because we did what God wants us to do. And I needed answers. That's number one. I needed to find answers of why this good deed blew up in my face, why I wasn't being blessed, why God wasn't supporting us. Two, and I'll never forget this, I think it was in August of last year, Tom Davis, in his sermon, advised that we read a little scripture every day. Start with John. I had never heard the idea of starting with John. I had always thought, if you're going to read the Bible, you got to start with Genesis. Just completely changed my frame of reference for the Bible. And then three, we were attending confirmation last fall, and a great man named Bob Fletcher really sparked the history aspect of the Bible, among other things. So at this point, these three things converged, and I began reading the Bible. And I started with John, and then I went to Acts, and then I went through the epistles, and then I went through Revelation, and I got to the end of Revelation. I went, huh, there's a lot of reference to the Old Testament. Maybe I need to go back and read it. And with that frame of the New Testament referencing back to the Old Testament, I began the arduous task with Genesis. And it wasn't as bad as I thought it was going to be, but I will say, I have since finished reading the Bible, with the exception of all the Psalms. I need to go back and do that in the Apocrypha. But I seriously, I've gone down rabbit holes of biblical meaning, biblical archaeology. I even brought one of my favorite books here, Unearthing the Bible, if we want to get into any questions about that. But yeah, that honestly is my story. You can seriously ask me about anything in the Bible. I will probably talk your ear off. Kevin, I think you regret ever, you know, sending me a text, don't you? Occasionally, I will send Kevin videos, give him Bible passages, and it's some time before I hear back from you. It's kind of funny, but anyways, I would sum up by saying my life's lesson is echoed in Tom Davis's words, and that is read scripture every day and start with John. It really could change your life. And with that, I'm done. All right. Thank you.
Challenge questions. Oh, hey, it could be anything. But yeah, I so appreciate you. Get to share more about Psalm 22 and the other Psalms.
Anybody want to hear about Psalm 22?
Yeah, get up here, man.
All right. please.
Oh gosh, I gotta look it up now.
The forbidden.
I'm putting Ben on the spot naturally here.
There's a reason why I brought this, and I guess you and I are the only ones that brought our Bibles.
No, it's all good.
Or as Kurt said, mine's digital. We're going to Psalm 22.
Yeah, you look it up in here. I'll bridge it over here.
Go ahead.
I really feel like these aren't just coincidences. I mean, when Ben talks about the convergence of these different things of confirmation, reading the Bible, I mean, these are all special God things. That's the way I really truly feel about it. And I think, you know, a vibe certainly as friends in the classroom. And I think the things you share with me, including sharing verses and YouTube videos of like Psalm 22 and others and the forbidden chapter, man, he challenges me certainly on my knowledge and what I do and how much I read or not read the Bible. So it certainly influences me, and it influences all of us for all the things that you've done.
Yeah.
Why don't you share a little bit further?
Sure. So I'm going to reference Matthew here, and Bob, you're probably sitting back there like, what is he going to talk about? I already know it, right? Does anybody know what Jesus' last words on the cross were, according to Matthew? Anybody want to say it? Come on. Is it? Is it? Is it finished?
Oh, no. It's probably I give my soul.
Well, what I'm focusing on is that could be his very last words. But does anybody know what he said on a?
My God,
why have you forsaken me?
No, that's the first verse of 22.
Right? Thanks, Bob. you ruined my whole setup. So, Bob already knows this lesson.
He's an LSU guy.
Oh, I know. There's nothing wrong with being a Tiger. That's right. So his last words were, my God, why have you forsaken me? So for years, I had just been puzzled over this. Is this Jesus showing weakness on the cross? Right? Is his soul suffering? Is he giving up on his faith in God? I mean, if that's true, why is he considered the Messiah? Wasn't he perfect? Well, then something, I forget where it came from, but I in one of my rabbit holes on, you know, watching biblical archaeology, I believe it was the Messianic YouTube channel. I saw an interview with a scholar. And the reason he quoted that, the reason he said that is he was quoting Psalm 22. So back before the medieval times, back before the monks gave us chapter and verse references, good Hebrew boys would always reference Psalm by quoting the first line. So what he was doing on the cross is he wasn't crying out to God and asking why God has forgotten him. He was actually giving a lesson. And what's interesting is if you go into Psalm 22 and you read it, it was written by David, but there are many references to what happened to Jesus. Not just, my God, why have you forsaken me? That's just him saying, I'm quoting this passage, which is considered a messianic prophecy. So just a couple of things. I didn't have this plan, so I may have to search it out. But I do know that there's, but I am a worm and not a man, scorned by men and despised by the people. And this is Psalm 22. All who see me mock me. They hurl insults, shaking their heads. And if you flip back and forth from Psalm 22 to Matthew, you'll see the similarities. There's another one in Psalm 22 where he talks about they have divided my garments and cast lots. And then you go back and you read about the Roman soldiers dividing his garments and casting the lots. I mean, this stuff blew my mind. So I wish I'd spent more time. Sorry, Kevin.
I put you on the spot.
No, it's okay. I wish I had spent more time referencing both of those, the resurrection account in Psalm 22. But what I can do is probably go into Isaiah 53. So I did this to Kevin one morning. It's a very short chapter. Right before our Sunday school class started, I think I turned to you. I said, have you read the forbidden chapter? You said, no. I said, turn to Isaiah 53, read it. So I could read that now. Has anybody read this chapter? besides Bob. All right. I will just shortly read it. Who has believed our message, and to whom has the arm of the Lord been revealed? He grew up before him like a tender shoot and like a root out of dry ground. He had no beauty or majesty to attract us to him, nothing in his appearance that we should desire him. He was despised and rejected by men, a man of sorrows and familiar with suffering, like one from whom men hide their faces. He was despised and we esteemed him not. Surely he took up our infirmities and carried our sorrows, yet we considered him stricken by God, smitten by him and afflicted, but he was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. The punishment that brought us peace was upon him, and by his wounds we are healed. We all, like sheep, have gone astray. Each of us has turned to his own way, and the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. I could go on, but a lot of people consider this the fifth gospel. And what's interesting is that Isaiah was written, you know, what, 700 years before Christ was born? And this is not the only prophecy that you can find, messianic prophecy that you find in the Old Testament. It's chock full of them, but this is a big one. And according to the messianic YouTube channel and some interviews, the Jews call this the forbidden chapter. And many of them do not read this and do not know of it. And a good trick that the street preachers like to play on unsuspecting Jewish followers is to have them read this chapter. And then it really kind of speaks, they think it's the New Testament, right? So, you know, this is one of those that I found down one of my rabbit holes. It's fantastic, but it was written roughly 700 years before the birth of Christ. And we know that Isaiah is definitely pre-Christian or pre-Christ, because we have the great Isaiah scroll, which was found in Qumran with the Dead Sea Scrolls. I think it was, we saw an archaeology student, I think it was over fall, maybe came to Chapel Roswell. And that was just one of the rare times that we attended Chapel Roswell. And she talked about the Isaiah scroll being the only complete book that they found in Qumran. And it's over there in I think the Israeli Antiquity Museum, the great Isaiah scroll. And this chapter's in there. And they've carbon dated it to, I think, 150 years before Christ. So we know it predates Christ. And yet here in chapter 53, it is almost exactly, it is exactly what Christ went through. He is predicting Christ coming as our Savior, as the Messiah. So yeah.
Awesome.
Right. With that, I'll be quiet now because we're trying to get out of here. Right? Oh yeah, look at that. Try to get out of here by 7:50.
Yeah. No, it's good. Ben, you connect the dots for me again, as stated earlier, on different verses and just your wonderful knowledge. So great to be friends and great. You certainly challenged me on continuing to learn and to read. So definitely appreciate that. Definitely can relate further of, hey, you're a man of faith, we're a man of faith, and we do good deeds, we do good works, and when things don't happen sometimes the way we wanted to, I'm like, why has that happened to all of us? I've been mad at God before. And
yeah, my greatest lesson that I found when I was searching for answers and reading the Bible is God spoke and said, it's not about you. See, that was a great lesson that I should have put out there.
That was Mike Long's message.
it's a message that is constantly taught to a lot of us.
So I normally go about a breakout session here. We have a few minutes. I think one of the items, which I probably should have mentioned earlier in some of the announcements, I'm really going to try to target for the breakfasts to really kind of wrap up like 10 of, if it's five of or so. I know some of us have obviously professional obligations and things to do probably about the 8 o'clock or so. Maybe I'll just kind of open it up for any comments, any complimentary feedback. Or supplemental feedback as well. I'll say it that way. Certainly for Ben. Yeah, go right ahead.
I just wanted to comment. I too remember the sermon where Tom said to start with John, and I did that night. I started reading John, again, I've read the Bible through. Unfortunately, I don't know much about it. I've read it through at least three times. So I'm sure I've read the forbidden verse chapter. I just didn't remember it. But yeah, it's an interesting place to start with John.
It's a wonderful place. It helped me.
Did you know Sam Matthews?
No.
First, he was senior minister, I guess, after you left. He was an associate when I was very young here. He was Bill Floyd's first associate.
Oh, yeah. Floyd was a member of Mount Zion. So I knew Bill before he was ordained. He was a car salesman.
But, Sam and
different bills.
Oh, wow. Okay. Never mind.
Yeah, this Bill Floyd was about 80,
90 now. Wow. Two Bill Floyds.
And anyway, Sam was his first associate here. We just had two preachers. And had just gone to that. Prior to that, just been one.
Wow.
Awesome. Anything else? All right, so I'll go ahead and just wrap us up. So look forward to seeing you on May 11th. So time is 6:30 for men's dinner. And I'll just go ahead. Ben, do you want to close with some prayer? I'm going to put you on the spot again.
No.
All right, Ken. It's all good.
Go ahead.
It's all good. Yeah. I put you on the spot too many times there. Heavenly Father, we're so thankful for all the things that you provide for us, all the people that you bring into our lives, all the encounters that we have, and the abilities and strength and courage that you give us to be able to go witness and to speak of you. Let us go from this place, Lord, and do your will to serve you, to serve the kingdom. May these words continue to resonate and challenge us to do your will, to read the Bible, do all the things you ask us to do. In your name we pray together. Amen.
Amen.
Thanks again, Ben. Bob, good seeing you. Hope you have a...